This is HPR episode 2652 entitled, Liverpool Make First 2018, Interview with Caroline and John, and is part of the series, Interviews. It is hosted by Tony Hume aka TonyH1212, and is about 7 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this is the final interview from this year's Liverpool Make First.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
So this is Tony Hughes, still at Liverpool Make Fest, and I've got with me...
It's Caroline Keep and...
John Carlin.
Yeah.
And Caroline, you helped set up the Liverpool Maker Fest in 2015. Can you just tell us a little bit how that process got going?
Me and the three of the founders, Mark Feltham and Denise Jones, the head of the library, set up the first Make Fest. We wanted to run a cultural event for young people, because I'm a teacher, to have a look at new emerging technologies, and there wasn't anything at the time. And we asked a few of our friends, like the current directors now, Mark Sabino and Jen Fenner, to come and run some bits. And we thought we'd get maybe 10 people. And we ended up with 5 floors and about 6,000 people. So today, 4 years later, we have a team of 28 that run MakeFest. Me, Mark and Denise have founding roles, so we tend to do more observational and overseeing these days. Jen Fenner and Mark Sabino have done some amazing direction this year, so they've put a great event on. And I've been concentrating beautifully on opening the first makerspace in a school with my head teacher, John Carlin, who's here with me.
So how does the makerspace in the school run?
Pretty well.
Yeah, it does run pretty well. To be honest, we've just got all of our kit in. So me and John have been working on what's called the Digital Creative Pathway, I think we've decided we're calling
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where we're going to embed maker skills across the curriculum for every year, for every child.
So what kind of kit are you using?
Oh, currently we're using 3D printers.
Yeah, which we just worn.
Yes.
Fabulous.
With
thank you to Automaker.
Thank you, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Create Education Automaker. We've got 3D printers that our kids built. And we're running as well Raspberry Pis, Arduinos, microbits, electronics, laser cutting, pretty much your typical makerspace.
So a lot of open source software and open source hardware as well.
Yeah, well we've got quite an ethos relatively of open source and sharing at Penkers.
Yeah, well I think the idea is that obviously if we, you know, if we utilise open source, then it means that the pupils can get access to it themselves outside the school.
Yeah.
So it's not about having expensive kit that they have to then go and buy or source, you know, to continue that outside the school. It's available to them, and I think Spark is really there as sort of the first footsteps for them, you know, to sort of, excuse the pun, spark something in them and a passion for them that they can then continue beyond school, really.
Can I just ask, do you use that ethos in other aspects of the school curriculum, like with word processing and things like that?
A number of things, really. I mean, as a school, we're really interested and focused on some of those higher impact sort of strategies that we're identifying at the JMU conference, for example, about sort of engaging learners in sort of, you know, their thinking process, the metacognition around the learning, and really providing them with opportunities and enrichment activities that mean that, you know, they're not just academically developing, they're also developing holistically, which means that they've got a love of learning, a passion for learning, and, you know, really, it means that going forward, you know, they've got an interest in things beyond just, you know, classroom-based scenario, and that's really important to me, to make sure that we build the right type of learning characteristics in our pupils.
Yeah. So what kind of software would you use in the classroom as well as the makerspace?
We use things like Autodesk, Autodesk 360 do a wonderful program of support. We use things like Cura for 3D printing. We currently use things like, pretty much a lot of the open source software has come with education. So I'm using things like Unity's platforms for developing for VR and AR, and all of the platforms, obviously Raspberry Pi and coding in Python and C#. So We use a lot of the free platforms because they are accessible to every school. And what we wanted to do with Spark, me and John agreed, was model it so that every school could do this.
Yeah, form a blueprint really.
Yeah.
And for a minimal cost because a lot of the software is open.
Yes. And, you know, we spent minimal amounts of funds on our makerspace.
Yeah.
We were
very
fortunate
budget.
That we had a lot of support from the maker community to start, and obviously with us having MakeFest as well. That helped our support in putting one into a school. That is something every library can do. They now have a national mandate. We've been working with the Libraries Task Force to have that. So every library has a mandate now to run a MakeFest. So, you know, you can go to your local library, ask them to pull your community together, and then ask your head teachers, well, here's my community, can we open a makerspace?
When you say every library, are you talking about Liverpool area
every
library in the country?
Yeah, we've now got ones in Stoke and Sheffield, Hull, every library.
I think to go back to your original question, that's exactly the point. You know, what software do we use? Predominantly it's Office-based stuff, so it's, you know, it's the Microsoft suite. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because obviously the curriculum is so narrow in terms of what we've got to deliver and what the kids have got to retain in terms of knowledge, that we're trying to provide them opportunities outside the classroom to broaden those horizons. Because otherwise the experience they're getting is predominantly web-based or Office, and that's it. I mean, obviously we're looking at some of the Microsoft suite to be able to get people to work in a different way, collaborate outside the classroom, so things like Microsoft Teams and things like that. But predominantly our curriculum, you know, directs people to use Microsoft, and that's about it really.
But that's pretty much every school.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's quite difficult to give young people that experience.
Have you thought about moving over to maybe open source office suites like LibreOffice and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have thought about that. I think one of the biggest issues with that is obviously we want to prepare people as well for when they go into employment, and obviously employment spheres predominantly they'll be using Microsoft and that type of office environment. So I think we need to prepare them for college, university and beyond, and that will be 80% of their experience. So
at the moment we're trying to use the more predominant ones that we know they're going to find in the industry in the future, and a lot of the ones that they're going to use in universities. So why are we trying to use as much open source software as we can? If the predominant use is a particular one like Microsoft Office, we do stick with that.
Yeah, I think the key really is to sort of develop them on the bog standard generic stuff that they're going to have to interact with on a day-to-day basis, but then provide them with wider opportunities so they're best prepared across, you know the scope is wide, I guess is the best way of putting it really.
Yeah, because we do have that massive digital skills gap that we all know about, you know, and we're not preparing our students well enough for the jobs that they are going to aspire to at the moment.
Probably don't exist.
Well, as I said to you, I don't really want my kids doing jobs that don't exist. I want them inventing the jobs that don't exist. So, and I think that's what we're getting our kids to do at the moment.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is it's more than just obviously what software they interact with. It's also those learning characteristics, independence, resilience, curiosity. You know, we need to develop those things in our people. And that's what the maker
along
does, well, and also just, you know, general enrichment does as well, just provide them with a wider scope of opportunity. Sorry, I'm just keeping an eye on my 2-year-old.
Yeah, it's all like you're getting. But yeah, it's really that's what we're trying to provide. So it's a bigger scope for young people to engage with a wide range of curriculum that will benefit them, and it also does benefit their learning and their progress at school.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, everyone, so much. I look forward to hearing it.
Thank you.
I'll look forward to your next episode.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.